Just in the event you haven't been here on some of these previous Wednesday nights, we're in Psalm 119. Some have put the label on this, David's Holy Alphabet. I'll say this again. By now, most of us must be familiar with it, but every 8-verse section of this 119th Psalm, which has 176 verses, it begins with a letter in the Hebrew alphabet, being 22 in number. So, David's Holy Alphabet. This evening, I'd like for us to take a look at verse 49 through 56. 49 through 56. Remember the word unto thy servant, upon which thou hast caused me to hope. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. The proud have had me greatly in derision, yet have I not declined from thy law. I remembered thy judgments of old, O Lord, and have comforted myself. Horror hath taken hold upon me because of the wicked that forsake thy law. Thy statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. I have remembered thy name, O Lord, in the night, and have kept thy law. This I had because I kept thy precepts. Let's bow again in a word of prayer. Father in heaven, as we quietly come before thee and read from the word of God, and this word of God that we're reading, it certainly focuses upon the value of what our God has done for us, is doing for us, and will do for us. We're so thankful that we have the word of God. We have the greatest of all teachers, our Lord Jesus Christ, through His Spirit, that will give us discernment and understanding of the things that we read, make them a real blessing to our soul, enrich us and help us to be better fitted to go out and witness and make known the glorious gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ to the world we live in today. In our Savior's name we pray. Amen. This psalm in the very first verse starts out with remember. Remember is a very special word. When you think about remembrance, the fact that you have a memory. And some things you can remember and some things you don't want to remember. But memory is a wonderful gift. Many things that you sometimes meditate upon and it delights you to think about them. And then there are other thoughts that come to mind and you shrink away from it. And you pray that I'll never have any more thoughts about that horrible experience. So there's a good side to remembering. And then there's a downside to remembering. And every day carries with it its memories of what we've done. We've had perhaps some reflections upon what we've done today already. Was it something, another day in which you say, nothing happened in my life today? It was such a dull day. But to somebody else, they may say, oh, some wonderful things happened in my life today. I can tell you that the day that I remember probably as much as any day in my life's experience is the day I got saved. I haven't forgotten that. I like to think about it. I like to reflect upon it. Because it was the start for me of a new life. So memory is a good thing. The psalmist, when he reflects upon memory, says, remember thy word unto thy servant, upon which thou hast caused me to hope. Now, You know, the Lord creates that hope in our own hearts and souls through His Word. That's what we try to emphasize in our own lives, the value of the Word of God to me. How can I generate hope in my soul? It's through knowledge of what God has revealed to him, to me through His Word. If somebody never reads the Word of God, never gives any thought to what it has to offer, little wonder life seems so hopeless. So hopeless. But if you keep your mind and soul refreshed and in tune, it's the Spirit of God that energizes this Word and it gives us hope. I jotted down some things as I was thinking about this. You know, God's Word is filled with promises. Many promises. And we call it blessed assurance when we reflect upon a promise that God has made to us. Jesus is mine. That's a promise. He is mine through my faith in Him. I think about the blessed hope. And when you think about a blessed hope, you think about the coming of the Lord. You think about the rapture. And we'd like to think about it as being imminent. Could happen at any time. I don't know of anything that can keep it from happening. When God says, enough, time to go, He will come. And we look forward to that. But sometimes it may be a long, patient period of waiting. That hope may not be fulfilled in a day's time. Sometimes we're so impatient. So it does take patience. But God's Word is a sure promise. Have you ever had a promise made to you and it wasn't kept? More likely we have. I remember a man that I knew that he was a businessman. He made a lot of money. And one day he shared with me just how he started out making the fortune that he had made. He said, you have to be very strict and dedicated to what you're doing. He says, I have written many promissory notes for people. And I have let people have money. He says, the one thing you want to never forget, be sure their name is on the bottom line. Because if you just hand someone some money and say, you promise to pay me back, don't you? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Well, I'm going to make real sure you do. And so he has you sign your name and he has it notarized. And one day in court, you may have to say, no, I haven't paid it. And the judge says, but you will pay it. Because you borrowed it, you made a promise. Well, our God makes promises to us. Many, many of those promises. You can just go through the Word of God and it's a delightful experience to just claim all those promises. You remember the story of the dear old lady that had the Bible and all of those TPs in there. Someone asked, what are those TPs for? She said, it's the promises of God that have been tried and proven. Tried and proven. TP. God keeps His promises. And then this next verse that we read in this section, we have the Christian's hope. And in a sense, when we pray, we're looking for an answer to a hope we have, aren't we? I am. I keep reflecting and looking every day when I think about the request and the things that I've heard that sometimes it goes out among God's people. Pray for this, pray for this. And I pray and I anticipate and I look forward in anticipation to the fulfillment. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. Now, sometimes you may say, Our Lord promised, and I will send you a Holy Comforter to be your counselor and to give you comfort in your time of difficulty and affliction. He is called the God of all comfort. Our God. God of all comfort. And you know the reason that he gives in 2 Corinthians, for adversity ever touching your life, is that so you being comforted of God, you'll know how to go out and comfort somebody else. That's how simple it is. We experience trial, affliction, all of those things happen in our lives. It's training for us to go out having been comforted of God. Oh, how precious that was. The Holy Comforter of God ministered the Word of God to my soul and was such a blessing right at the time when I needed it. Well, you've been through an experience. You take that experience and what God did for you, go share it with someone else. And tell that person, listen, he's able. Someone sorrowful of spirit. Some experience that you yourself have had in your life. You've learned from it. And you're God's faithful servant. And you go forth and you provide comfort. We don't say, Lord, remove the trouble, do we? Well, yes, we do, don't we? Take away all the troubles, Lord. I don't want any adversity. I don't want any trial. Well, we can say remove the trouble, but really, Lord, quicken me, grant to me an understanding through this experience that I'll have confirmation from the Word of God that it is absolutely important that we have this kind of experience if we're going to be any value to someone else. And that's just how simple that is. The proud have had me in great derision, yet have I not declined from thy law. How much of the rebuke of mankind have you ever experienced in your life? I'm going to have to say this. I doubt if there are very many of us in here that have ever really suffered the kind of rebuke, the kind of trial and testing that, say, a man like the Apostle Paul experienced. I just read recently about the life of John Wesley. You may not think of Wesley, you tie him in with Methodism and all of that, but listen, this was a man of God. And he suffered. He was beaten many times. And he persisted. He prevailed through even those experiences. Read a story a long time ago, and you may have read it, but this young boy, he's a Christian, and he went away from home for the very first time, and that first night when he was there in that barracks, and he'd been told by his mom and daddy, now look, son, you're going to be put to the test. Everybody out there that you're going to meet in that army, they're not Christians. They don't know the Lord. And you may be strange to them. So that first night, he got down like he always did at home by his bed, and he started praying. And suddenly he felt shoes flying his way and hitting him. He was suffering the rebuke of being faithful in his witness for the Lord. You know what he did? It really shook them all up. When they got up the next morning and started to put their shoes on, he had shined all over the shoes. You got to respond in the right way. And I do believe that must have been very, very effective. He dared to trust the Lord and be a witness for God in circumstances that were not too pleasant. The psalmist himself says, I have not denied my Lord nor his word on account of it. The word of God sometimes will get you in trouble with the world.
You say, this is what the Word of God says. It says if you want to be saved, you've got to trust the Lord Jesus as your Savior. It says that the Lord Jesus is the one and only way into the presence of God. That'll get you in trouble in the world today. You're prejudiced toward other people of other faiths, aren't you? No? No? I'm just telling you the truth in God's Word. I'm just telling you what the Word of God says. I'm being faithful to my Lord. So, the psalmist, when he thinks about this, and this is, again, something that's so important. The proud have had me in great derision, but yet not have I not declined from thy law. Don't let somebody laugh you out of your profession. Don't let somebody ridicule you and cause you to feel in your soul that maybe it's not worth it. It's worth it all. It's worth it all. Herb and I was just talking. Maybe we're not feeling enough of the sting of rebuke of the world today like we ought to. It says when those early Christians suffered persecution and they were all running away from Jerusalem, it says they went everywhere telling people about the Lord. The gospel spread. Maybe that's what we need today. Good old-fashioned case of tribulation and trial to set us on fire for God. That might help. So that's just something for us to think of, find a way about. Verse 52 says, I remember thy judgments of old, O Lord, and they have comforted me. You know, God's Word never changes. That's one of the things I like about the Word of God and God's dealing with mankind. You don't hear, we just had a new revelation from heaven. They just passed some new amendments to what has already been written. Things are going to change. All that stuff you have in your computer is no good. Things about the Word of God, things that you've learned. They're updating everything. You'll never find that true in the Word of God. Scripture tells us that heaven and earth will pass away. The Word of God, it'll be here forever. We will face the Word of God in heaven. People change. Do they ever change? They're like the chameleon. Oh, they just change in every situation in life. People that can just fit into any situation. Believers at some time. Yes. Hypocrites. They're not what they really are pretending to be. And this 53rd verse uses a word that I think should cause us some thought. I think the reason that sometimes we're not moved enough in the right direction by the adversity and trials in life and what we see in the lives of people is because it's so widespread. We get a newspaper in the morning, we listen to the radio, we look at the television. And there's enough disaster and trial and testing and horrible things happening on there to make us all shockproof. Someone says, wasn't that horrible? Ho-hum. I've seen that 100 times. Did you hear what happened? Well, I've heard something similar to that many, many times. There's nothing new anymore about how far man will go and going contrary to the laws of God and the truth that's found in the Word of God. We're shockproof. Tell me something. It's going to really upset me. And here, the psalmist has a word to say that indeed should wake us all up, this 53rd verse.
Horror hath taken hold upon me because of the wicked that forsake thy law. How many times have you ever read that account in the 16th of Luke where it says the rich man opened his eyes being in torment? That bother you? I've read it. The rich man opened his eyes being in torment. He was lost. Horror gripped his soul. And you and I must be aware, because we're realists, aren't we? Someone died today. He opened his eyes being in torment. We have all kind of programs. We have all kind of things that are being put together to try to rescue people that are perishing. I don't know that if we'll ever really get down to business and be that individual witness that we should be for the Lord Jesus Christ until horror grips our soul over what happens to a person that goes to hell. Someone that's going to spend eternity in the lake of fire. If that doesn't bother you, it does me. Somebody burning up in hell forever and ever. That's a horrible thought. Maybe that word, flee from the wrath to come, should be warning. Flee from the wrath to come. God's judgment and God's wrath will fall. The wages of sin is death. Our God is a consuming fire. Some people won't talk about anything but the love of God. Our God is a loving God. He is the Father of all mankind. He's kind. He's loving. He wouldn't dare do anything like that. Send a person to a place like you've just described. Well, he says he does. It's in the Word of God. And he's done it, and he's going to do it, and you ain't seen nothing yet. You wait until this old world is rolling and rocking during that 7 years of tribulation period. And what I'm talking about is eyes may be open, but it's too late. It's just too late. And then the 54th verse says something that I think, thy statutes have been my songs in the house of pilgrimage. I remembered thy name, O Lord, in the night, and have kept thy law. You know, we've said this many times before, but the believer's songbook can be the Psalms. And what I have read and learned is that for a long, long time, the only psalms that were sang in church gatherings were psalms. Isaac Watts desired to put to music truths that he had learned in the Word of God. And finally, he dared to take some of those poems and those things that he had written and put it to music and have it sung in church. They treated it as if he was blaspheming because he had departed from using the Word of God. But these psalms, indeed, they are rich and wonderful to the soul. 23rd Psalm. Now, if you just say the first, the Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want. Oh, how sweet and wonderful that is. And when he says that, these are things that come to me in the night. You ever wake up at night? I doubt if there's one in the room that doesn't wake up. No matter how soundly you sleep, you wake up in the night. You may wonder, what in the world am I awake for? I need my rest. Around my house, we have a lot of nighttime experiences. And I have to confess, a lot of times we're so busy we don't think about the Psalms in the night, I tell you. But indeed, to wake up in the night, as the psalmist has declared, and say, Lord, I know you're there. I don't have to wake God up. Lord, oh Lord,
Jehovah, Lord Jesus Christ, love of my soul. And suddenly, that nighttime experience becomes something that you're enjoying. You're reflecting upon how wonderful and great your God is and what He has done for you. You get carried away with it. And finally, you do drift off back to sleep, and you said to yourself, that was a nice experience. Let those cries that go out in the nighttime, that come from the hearts and the souls of God's people, going through so many, many trying experiences, the times in which the majesty and the greatness of our God is impressed upon our souls, and we're comforted by it. Our Father in heaven, we thank Thee again for these little moments that we spend together thinking about these verses that we've read in the Psalms. Grant, we pray Thee, that they will impress upon us some values that are important for any day and every day of our lives as believers. Oh, give us a good time together tonight as we pray together. We call to mind many of our brothers and sisters in Christ. They're going through trying experiences, Lord. And our hearts are bound up with them in this experience. We think about the Word of God. When one suffers, we all suffer together. Yes, we're thinking about them. We love them, and we cry out to Thee to have mercy upon them. Refresh us and grant to us, we pray Thee, that consciousness of their presence with us. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we ask this. Amen.